Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Guess who's back in your eardrums? It's your man in the building. Man, happy 213 and all that to everybody. GQ Palace Sports, after further review, is back in the area. The mayor in effect right here, live and direct. We hyped the charge tonight, man. Hyped the charge. We was gone for a little while, but now we're back. Hope everybody enjoyed the new year and all of that Christmas stuff and New Year stuff and all that. So we done shook all the little cobwebs off and all the newness is off for the new year and all that. So now it's time to get back to business. We're going to establish some things, first of all, before we get started in the 2013 season, man. We're going to have some house rules. I hate to do this, man, but it's going to be a house rule situation right now because we don't want everybody talking over each other and all that, man, because nobody gets heard that way. So we have a signal, so when you hear the bell, that is going to be the signal to let you know that there's another caller on the line. And one thing we want to do is respect all the callers. Tonight, we got a nice show tonight, man. We got Derek Cohen and Weta Washington, co-founders of Beyond the Bricks, man, nonprofit organization. And they're doing a lot of things, man, and I think that they need to be heard, and they need to be heard from. So we got them on the line with the mayor tonight. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, man. What did you do? Did you do something today? You know, did you handle your handle? Did you respect the architects and all that? Shout out to Miss Lavina behind the boards and all that. It's her birthday too, so I wanted to shout out. Applaud that. Get the first applause for 2013 for Miss Lavina. Applaud Miss Lavina's birthday. That's gonna be the first, so we're gonna get it out the way right quick. All right, there you go. That's what it is. Also, it's Quita Honey Donk's birthday. Hip hop is always in the building on After Further Review. Shout out to Pre. What did we miss while we was gone? Alabama won a national championship. They ran it. They ran through Notre Dame. I don't know what Notre Dame was thinking about, but Alabama put the Bear Bryant on Notre Dame, and they won a national championship. So that's what that is. So football is basically, college football is basically a wrap. The NFL, we got the Falcons and the 49ers playing for the NFC Championship on Sunday, and the Patriots and the Ravens playing for the AFC Championship on Sunday. I don't know how close you are to the After Further Review GQ Palace Sports Archives, but if you go back to like the September shows and all that, when we was doing the football previews, I said that the Ravens and the 49ers would be in the Super Bowl, and I'm one step away from that, you know. Keeping it on football for a hot second. I see when my Tampa Bay Buccaneers decided not to give Josh Freeman an extension on his contract. He don't deserve an extension. When he deserves an extension, we'll talk about an extension. But right now, he plays like garbage. You get paid like garbage. Straight like that. So the Super Bowl will be February 3rd down in New Orleans. Unfortunately, the Pittsburgh Steelers won't be there. Neither will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I keep it hard body karate all across the board. I am happy, though, because January 19th, which is this upcoming Saturday, they will be dropping the puck. A lot of people pretend that they don't like hockey. They say they don't like hockey because they probably don't understand it. But it's cool. Hockey's nothing but soccer or ice skates. So, you know, and it's a sport. So I don't see how sports heads, you know, so-called sports heads, because we don't play over here. There's no subliminals dropped over here or none of that. So-called sports heads call themselves you know, about sports and all that, and they twist their mouth up when you talk about hockey because they don't understand what's going on, and they think on, you know, they have still have that prehistoric thinking that it's a quote unquote white person sport. I'm blacker than Broadway and Myrtle at midnight, and I love hockey. Hold that. NBA situation's going down. The Knicks 24-13. The Lakers are 16-21. What's wrong with that picture? It's before Valentine's Day, and the Lakers already have 21 losses. I'm expecting to hear from a couple of Laker fans later on so we can get an explanation on what's popping. They're supposed to have the super squad with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and all that, and I still think they shouldn't have got rid of Mike Brown, but we'll get into that later on. Duke and North Carolina on the bubble in the NCAA, that's kind of weird too, you know. North Carolina and Kentucky, excuse me, on the bubble. Duke was number one until they got beat by North Carolina State. The situation when they was pushing my man with the wheelchair and he fell out the wheelchair and North Carolina State player picked him up and they went on and kept on doing their little celebration thing. But yeah, you got GQ Palace Sports is in the building. After further review, the mayor's in the house, man. This is the first show for 2013. We took a little hiatus and all that. But we back. We even gonna do it. We're gonna try to slide in a plate review too, man. So if you can remember a good plate that you had over the holiday and you wanna talk about it, this is the place where you can get down, good, bad, or indifferent. As far as the playoff picks for football, you know who's in the lead. The mayor is holding it down with 56 points and all that. But I already got my picks locked in for Sunday. So you already know who I'm picking. So I just got to go through my other picks. I'm picking the Ravens and the 49ers to win on Sunday. Ain't no shame on my game. I'm not going to switch up in the ninth inning. It's going down. GQ Power Sports, the number to dial to get in on the conversation is 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to get in the game. It's like double dutch, man. Don't be scared to get in it. Shout out to my man Jules, Bucktown USA, for lacing the mayor with the new theme song and all that. I'm feeling that. It ain't over yet, because I got to throw my verse on there, and it's going to go down. Yeah, I got skills. I got rhyme skills, for real, and you'll find out. But again, man, it's going down. One more again. We got Derek Cohen. We got We the Washington, co-founders of Washington Cohen Media and Beyond the Bricks. We'll be checking in with the mayor. But I had to put this out there because people thought that Sugar Shane Mosley had gave up the GOAT. But he's coming back April 27th. Sugar Shane Mosley can't leave the game alone. He's going to fight Paulie Malignaggi at the Barclays Center on April 27th. And personally, I think this is one that Sugar Shane should have been took. But we'll get into that later on. Again, 646-200-3838 is the number. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to the listeners. We see you too. You know, I want to get that out the way and make sure that the listeners get some love that we're starting this new season and all that. Just remember the house rules. You know, respect the callers, man. Give everybody their air to breathe and let them say what they got to say. You know what I mean? And then we get back into the conversation aspect of it because it was getting a little bit too buck wild, man. People was just talking over each other and not respecting the situation. So for 2013, we want to call, make aware that we will be respecting the callers, let everybody get their space and speak their minds and say what they got to say. The first caller for 2013 is in the building. We got my man NYG Mike. What's good, Mike? Happy New Year, my dude. What's good?
What's going on? What's going on? Staying
with
you. I ain't
cool.
Hear from you in a minute.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I we went on hiatus for a little second, man. We came back and did a little Saturday show, and they was missing the brother and all that. So I came back in the building. So, yo, let me ask you a question, Mike. Being that the Giants are in the playoffs, how's your remote working, man? Is your remote working well and all that? Is the battery on your remote working good and all that stuff?
You know I'm going to tear them up tonight, right? You know
it's
I'm going to tear them up tonight.
It's going down.
It's Bertilla thing?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's going down. Yeah, it's going down, and I know you've been waiting for that too, my dude.
Oh yeah, I told
you. Hey, we tried to work with him. We tried to work with him, but you know, you can't. I guess you can't tell a Steeler fan nothing. You know, it's Steeler Nation. They bleed black and yellow and all that. And I'm not mad at that because I bleed pewter and red. That's Tampa Bay right there. So you know, I respect their hard body, but you know, when you try to tell somebody something objectively, and they don't want to listen. Mm-hmm. I guess they got to face that, you know, that hard reality, man. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to come on ready to box tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So,
well,
so Mike, what are you thinking about your I'm going to switch gears for a hot second before our special guests get on the line. What do you think? How you feeling about the Knicks right now, man? 24-13. Everything's everything. How you feeling about that, man?
Yeah,
I know you've been waiting real patiently to get the Knicks to talk on.
You know what? I've been like on a hush with the Knicks.
Yeah.
You understand?
Right.
Because they're going to do it too. You understand? Because just like, well, what game I was watching? The Lakers were playing Oklahoma, and Oklahoma blew them out by what? Was it 17
mm-hmm.
points? You understand? Because you got these people that's like, they wishing upon a star. That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
You know, the 7-0 start, I wasn't really fazed by that because, you know, basketball, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So when people were talking about, you know, the Knicks are going to win the championship, they only played 7 games, yo. You know, and since that 7-0 start, they're like 17-13. So they're kind of balancing back. They're kind of like coming back to the pack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that right now, as of right now, that we can finish with a better record than the Lakers. If we finish with a better record than the Lakers, I'll be happy.
They're going to do it, though. They're going to do it. Just like I said, I was keeping quiet with my Giants. Watch
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. This is going to be the year for New York. Mark my
words.
This is the year for New York. And
but
I'm waiting for somebody to come down.
I see you didn't answer my question about your remote. Is your remote control working?
Oh, it's working. Love it.
All right. Okay. I just want you to know. Would you give Victor Cruz the remote, you know, you want to make sure that the batteries are fresh and all that. Cause, you know,
I got the universal joint.
Oh, you got the universal joint. Okay. That's what it is.
So while I'm watching on TV, I can listen on the radio too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We want to that you get a chance to shout out Miss Lavina. You know, it's her birthday today, so we're going to get, you know, it's your situation. You can shout out for her birthday and all that.
Yeah, happy birthday, Lavina.
Yeah,
you go girl in my Martin voice.
I told her I was going to blow up, man. I'm going to blow up tonight,
happy
man. Everybody going to be wishing a happy birthday.
Yeah, she's doing big things.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Shout out to GQ Palace, man. It's going down for the 2013 season. We're waiting. Just waiting right now. Did you get a chance? Oh, I know you got a plate review, Mike. I know you ate somewhere for Christmas or New Year's. You had a nice plate. Tell us about it. We're going to sneak in the first plate review of the year.
On New Year's, you know,
uh-huh.
I was just getting torn down with the family. I didn't even eat on New Year's.
You didn't eat on New Year's, okay.
So you
were getting torn down on an empty stomach.
But Mama Duke, she cooked the collard greens, the sweet potatoes.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
She cooked the turkey and all that.
Right.
And that's the bad part, because I didn't even get a plate, come to think of it. You just brought back memories.
So you drank, you drank your plate up.
Yeah,
you drank up
that,
your plate.
I was getting torn down on you.
I hear you, man.
To the flow down.
But you had a good
time,
though. That's what it is, man. We just trying to get we doing hard body karate over here, man. We do plate reviews and all that. So if you want to talk about a plate that you had that was good or wasn't so good, after further review, GQ Palace is what to talk about it. Because everything is sports, man. You know, I kind of wanted to put that out there, too, man. You know, for 2013, everything is sports. A lot of people say that they, you know, not interested in sports and they don't know nothing about sports. That's fine. You compete every day. You get up in the morning on time. You compete to get to work on time. That's a competition. Okay?
Exactly.
You want to make that train. Okay? All right? You want to get that gas pumped. Everything is a competition. So everything revolves around sports. So me, myself, being the mayor and all that, I'm in the catbird seat right now. For people to say that, you know, they don't know nothing about sports and they're not interested in it, that's fine. Because you're competing in one way or another every day.
Well, see, that's the way people, they don't understand that. When they're running for that train, it's like you're running tracks. You're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
That's right.
You understand?
That's right.
When you're jumping that train before it moves, you're doing something.
You're doing
something.
I
mean?
You're competing. That's right. Even like, you know, when you're trying to go to the, you know, you go to the your neighborhood bodega or whatever, and it's like, oh man, come on, yo, let me rock for 20 cents. Let me get this. I'll get you the 20 cent later. That's still a competition because you're trying to see if they're gonna let you go for that. You know what I mean? So everything is a competition.
Exactly.
When you try to race and make that green light, when you're driving your joint You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, I hope I make this light. I hope I make it. Everything is a competition. So that's going to be our thing for 2013 season. Everything is sports. And sports is everything. Mayor is in the building, man. 646-200-3838. Press 1 to dive in. Dive right on in. This is the first show for 2013. Waiting for the special guests to come through so we can chop it up with them. But Mike, let me slide this by. You know your man Sugar Shane Mosley's coming back, right?
Oh, for real? I didn't hear about
sir.
That.
April 27th.
Sugar Shane Mosley?
Sugar Shane Mosley.
Wow.
He's going to fight Paulie Malignaggi on April 27th at the Barclays Center, man.
How do you think he's going to do about that?
I hope he knocks Malignaggi out. Because Malignaggi was that dude. I don't know how deep you go with it or whatever, but he was the dude that came into the ring. I think it was maybe about 3 years ago. He came into the ring, my dude, with his hair braided and with extensions in his hair.
Wow.
And all he needed was the bamboo earrings, at least 2 pair. You know what I'm saying? So he's fighting the dude, and they fighting and this and that. And his extensions are all in his eye, and they got to cut the extensions out while the fight is like this. Yo, this dude right here, I don't know who he was trying to front for or what he was trying to prove, but from that night on, I wasn't feeling that dude, man. He came into the ring like he just left off 125th Street somewhere. Straight
yeah.
like that.
You know, Sugar Shane been going for a minute.
Yeah, Sugar Shane been going for a minute, man. He fought Floyd Mayweather. He fought Manny Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? He fought Saul Alvarez, Canelo Alvarez he fought. You know what I'm saying? So Sugar Shane's like, yo, I think I could take this Paulie Malignaggi dude, and I don't blame him.
He probably could, but he can't come with that down low thing no more.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
He ain't gonna be able to come with, because everybody, you know, maybe once he go down, and my man catching that shit, it ain't no more going down like that, jumping up. That's old school right there.
Right.
I hope he don't come with that, because if he do, he's gonna be in a lot of trouble.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that Sugar Shane is. I think he's not. First of all, he's very intelligent. So I don't think that he would even attempt to come back if he didn't think he had a chance. You know what I mean? Because the last 3 fights he had, you know, he kind of got wiped out in all of them fights, yo. You know what I mean? He looked real bad, you know?
He could have
did something to Floyd Mayweather, but the second round he threw one punch, and then after that was it. And then Floyd just beat him up.
He probably figured to come back because a lot of boxers don't got that movement, you know, that style that they had back then. You know, that's why Ali would stayed around for so long. You understand? You understand? But Sugar Shane Mosley is like in a different category.
Right. Yeah, that's well, your man B-Hop is coming back too. Bernard Hopkins is coming back. He's older than me and you.
Are you serious? He's
coming back too.
I didn't hear about that either.
Yeah. B-Hop is coming back. He's fighting. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me check it out. He's fighting Tavoris Cloud on March 9th. At the Barclays Center getting a lot of business, man. The Barclays Center about to be that spot. So he's fighting on March the 9th.
He better stop watching those Rocky pictures.
But I just think that these older cats, man, feel like there's nothing really out there to keep them out the ring. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's really there that's going to really say, well, you shouldn't have never came back. You know? And Sugar Shane Mosley, especially how he looked in his last 3 fights, if he feel like he can come back and beat up Malignaggi, then hey, you know, more power to him.
I think Bernard Hopkins, I think he's really putting his foot in his mouth, you know. Yeah. I mean, you had it, you know, going, let it go and just rock out like that, you know.
Right.
Don't go back in there trying to do, who was that, who was it? Like Mike Tyson, and it was somebody else. I can't think of their
name. I mean, it's a lot of them that, you know, was with past their prime. You could go back to, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard and all them dudes. They all was in the ring a little bit too long, if you ask me. You know, but
yeah,
I think that it's just like it's the allure of it, man. It's, you know, it's all they know. So you know, you got to go back to what you know, and especially if it's paying you, you know, like it's paying. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and get that money. Get that paycheck for that night, man. Just be able to make sure you have your faculties after the fight is over that you can count your money and all that, you know? But, yeah, man, that's what's going down tonight, man. 646-200-3838. press one to get in on the conversation. I got my man Mike in the building. I still got to get at you, man, so I still got to get you your jersey, Mike.
Oh,
so,
God,
I don't know.
That's what I was going to tell you. I'm going to leave it with the football operator today.
Make sure you do that, man, because I'm going to put the I was waiting. I didn't want to put the order in. I didn't want you to think I forgot about you. You know what I'm saying?
We are
honest engines over here. We are not crooks. We are not crooks over here after further review. GQ Palace, we hold it down. Happy birthday, Miss Lavina. You know what it is. What it is from 8 to 10, man. We're going to remind her that it's her birthday.
Yeah.
Heard she was like, what, 21 again? 21?
Who?
She about to get at me now. Miss Lavina, it's her birthday. She's 21. Don't be laughing. They funny. Ring the bell for that. So what are you feeling about the games this weekend, man? The Patriots and the Ravens and the Falcons and the 49ers. What do you got?
Well, you know, I'm gonna go with the Patriots.
Okay.
And the 49ers.
Okay, so you see, you think it's gonna be the Patriots and the Niners in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's what it is. I ain't mad at that. I got the Ravens and the Niners. I really don't trust the Falcons because you see what the Falcons did to Seattle the other day, and then Seattle was trying to come back and win that game. If Atlanta would have lost that game, they would have had to get rid of that franchise, man. Because nobody trusted them as it is because, you know, they had the playoff game against the Giants last year and they lost 24-2, you know, and they went 13-3 during the regular season. So everybody was all hyped and amped off of Atlanta, like Atlanta was going to come in and do some stuff. I still don't trust them.
No,
I don't trust Atlanta Falcons, man. No, not at all. They don't deserve to be trusted. Forget about them. But on the other side with the Patriots and the Ravens, I call them bandwagon fans, my dude. They all hopped on the bandwagon and thought that Peyton Manning was gonna have a free ride to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I think he could take him and his Papa John pizza and all of that, and they can go and do what they need to do. All right, that's the bell. So that means we got a new caller on the line. What's good? Who's on the line? I don't know who's on the line. Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's good?
Hello. Hi. This is Weeda with Beyond the Bricks Project.
Weeda, what's going on? Happy New Year, lady. Happy New Year. What's going on?
Happy Year as
well. What's going on, Mr. Mayor?
Welcome to the. We got the Beyond the Bricks people in the building. Weeda Washington is on the line. Is Derek on the line too?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Dom SummerCon. What's going on, my dude? Yes, sir. Goes down hard body karate over here. So basically, but we just gonna jump right into it. We was waiting for you guys to call. How's everything? You guys all right?
Good, man. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Definitely. So where do we start? Because I mean, the resumes is really really crazy, and the history is crazy. So I think you could do a better job of, you know, telling people who you are and where you've been and what you're doing better than I can. So I'm going to give you guys the floor and rock out. Whoever wants to take the floor, it's on you.
Oh, all right. So, Mr. Mayor, thank you very, very much. We really appreciate, you know,
yes,
the
sir.
Opportunity. We want to thank everybody who supported and has continued to support the Beyond the Bricks Project. And thanks to your listeners for giving us the opportunity to get our message out there. I don't think we want to, like, get into any resumes. I just want to jump right into it.
When I said resume, I'll just say, like, your history, that stuff that you've done.
I want to just go right into what the Beyond the Bricks Project is.
Okay.
So basically, the Beyond the Bricks Project is a media and international community engagement initiative that we created to encourage and promote community-based solutions for educational and social outcomes for school-aged black males.
Okay.
And what we've been doing is taking a grassroots approach to engage the entire community to create solutions for black males, because you know that we don't even want to get into the percentages of the statistics of where black males have been in this country and the things that are happening to black males. But the project was born out of a film in the film, basically, we made a film that allowed young black boys to speak for themselves. And we went on tour, and over the last 2 years, we went to 60 cities and 21 states in the last 2 years. And, you know, just building momentum and letting people know that, especially the young boys, know that, you know, there are people out there that care about you, that want to see
right.
you do good. And from that, we've been hearing from the boys that they wanted to have their own voice. So we created a program, and we call it Produce, Create, Innovate, a community producers program. But it's a playoff of KRS-One, My Philosophy. So, you know, produce, create, innovate on a
right.
higher level. So
I'll be back.
That's what that was our thinking of, you know, give them an opportunity to produce, create, innovate. And we scratched the higher level just so the name wouldn't be so long, but that was
right.
our intention. And so we took the program, we partnered with several universities and community based organizations, and the universities that we're currently working in right now is University of North Carolina in Charlotte, the University of Arkansas in Pine Bluff, Georgia State College, Jackson State College, and Columbia University Teachers College. And basically, we bring in 10 boys in each site and giving them a four-month course so that they can go out and, you know, do something about how the way they feel media is portraying them, how that media influences them and how it influences society, and the George Zimmermans and the people who interact with young black males in an aggressive way, because that's what they feel that black males are. This gives black males the power to go out and change that perception.
Right. Okay, so when you say, like, I got you when you say grassroots, so you're really going, you know, you're starting from the from the bottom, and you're touching them, like, where they live. You're not just, you know, saying, like, okay, this is me, I'm on TV, this could be you. You're actually, you know, knocking on doors, and, you know what I'm saying, and you're talking face-to-face and saying, hey, this could be you, we want to guide you and show you how to do it, and give you your own voice, to give you the confidence and the strength, because we care about you. So that's what I'm getting when you're saying grassroots, and that's cool.
That's
right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, Wita, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good.
Shout out Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
Auburn fans, but okay.
Auburn, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah. Go Tigers.
But it's all good. So basically, you know, on your input, what do you, as far as your aspect into to the project, what is your, I know your contribution is major, but, you know, you tell the story. I can't speak for you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, again, I came out of Washington Cohen Media, Derek and I, company, we decided to do this film, and we really didn't have to think that it was going as far as it's gone, so, you know, as it's gone since beginning it, which is like 3 or 4 years ago. But I think our biggest message really has been in the community engagement endeavors, because we've done town hall meetings in most cities that we've gone to. So we've asked, you know, a diverse group of people to come out. So not just about teachers and educators, but we're asking community leaders to come out. We're asking the parents to come out. Policy people who are making policy that affect these young, that affect the community in general.
Okay.
And the biggest thing I think that people need to understand is that our kids are just kids. We fear them. We have, you know, they are labeled at risk when all we see is potential.
Mm-hmm.
So they're much more at potential than they are at risk.
Right.
But that label has blanketed everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really messes with their self-esteem in terms of who they believe that they are. One of the interesting statistics that came out of this is around fourth grade that young black males tend to lose interest in school. And we started to wonder about that and, you know, ask them. We have some great scholars that are in the film, and in particular Dr. Ivory Tolson out of Howard University has been traveling with us as well.
Okay.
And a lot of the reason for that is that they start, at around that age, they start to identify outside of themselves. So they start to look at who they think they should be
And those messages that are coming to them are telling them they should, you know, not be interested in furthering their education. Mm-hmm. They should, you know, all kinds of negative sort of things that have gotten boys into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a myth about there being more black males in prison than there are in college.
Right.
That's not actually the truth, but they are definitely overrepresented in the juvenile and prison systems.
Okay.
So this is coming out. This is coming from a place where they're feeling like they have to rise to this, or not even rise, but they have to sort of come to this place where they are black men, and that somehow represents black manhood today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so our message really is that once you actually sit and speak with them, so it's not really necessarily their goals or
right.
help, but they're stuck in this box.
Mm-hmm.
And so as media is a part of the big tool that's gotten them into that situation, so as a part of the Produce, Create, Innovate program, we are offering them cameras. A part of this is media literacy, learning what the people are saying about you and how some of the images have come about. And then giving you a camera, it's like, well, so what do you have to really say about yourself?
Mm.
So the idea is that it becomes a sort of counter-narrative
right.
to, you know, the sort of predominant narrative that's out there.
Okay, so basically you're giving them the opportunity and the motto, and then you're planting it in there, see that you could be something. It's in you, but you're just trying to get it out instead of, you know, wanting to, you know, conform and to fit inside that box that they already have planned for you. There's something,
exactly.
There's a whole lot going on outside of that box.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they know
okay.
it. They know
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's having the opportunity to be able to show something else.
Okay.
In a supportive environment. So
like in some of the cities that you guys have been to, do you notice the same, is it like the same problems, or is it like same situation on the East Coast as it is on the West Coast or down South, or,
yeah.
I mean, is everything the same as far as, you know, the problems and trying to attack those problems?
Yes, sir, and that's an amazing thing that you'll see, that you can interchange any one of these inner city neighborhoods. Newark, Detroit, Baltimore, Oakland, they all having the same engineered issues.
Mm.
And that's the part where you know that there is engineering going on.
Right, right, no doubt. So give us an example, basically, of, like, one of the cities you guys visited, and how does that process go? Do you have a town hall meeting, or do you have particular community meetings, or do they get in touch with you and they request your presence, or how does that work?
Well, I guess I'm answering that, Derek. in terms of the community engagement piece of it, we initially started with 10 cities that we identified. And we linked up with community partners, people who were doing similar work or who could also help bring out a diverse group of people in terms of the community audience.
Right.
And the goal was, because there's also planning workshops, watching a film, there's a community panel discussion, and then people go out into workshops, because we want to think about people planning for moving forward, and not just, okay, we had a great day to have this discussion, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But really about how this moves forward, how on the ground there, how it moves forward. And so after that, we got a lot of momentum from that tour. And
right.
Since then, as people have asked us, the other 50 or so cities, have been requests from people to come
right.
to show the film. So we're very excited. We're actually headed to London in March.
Okay.
So this is an issue that's been, yeah. it's an issue that's an international issue, which is
right.
Very,
that's true. That's
people
right.
never think about that, and as well as Canada.
Okay.
So going to Canada soon as well.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be in Syracuse in February, and also in North Carolina, East Carolina University. And we want to give a big shout out to our program manager, Dana Salter, who definitely is doing big things and helping
okay.
us pull all this together. And basically, she's the Yes, sir. So we definitely want to. And Dr. Celie Ruiz also, she's doing a postdoc right now on beyond, we're calling it Moving Beyond the BRICS. And so we'll be going with London and Toronto with her to do her research on, so she's doing research on cultural relevancy of beyond the BRICS. So basically, she went with us to a couple of cities during our initial tour,
right?
And she interviewed a bunch of teachers, basically just to get a little bit of feedback from them of what were their perceptions of black and brown children, boys in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so that influenced the article that she wrote for the Journal of Negro Education. That anybody who wants to read it, you can go onto our website, beyondthebricksproject.com, and go on to research, and you'll see scholar reviews, and there's a bunch of reviews from professors from around the country that basically watched the film or reviewed the film and found creative ways of how they can incorporate the message of Beyond the BRICS in their course.
True. And I was reading the bio. Yeah, see, it's a non-profit organization. So, I mean, I guess when you say grassroots, it's really like literally it's an effort from the heart, as opposed
yes, sir.
To you know looking for corporate dollars or getting somebody to be a puppet for somebody. You and we to do the footwork, which is a beautiful thing. So actually, it's not like a thing where people are reporting back to you and saying their findings. You're right there touching the people, and you're talking to them yourself. And I guess it kind of like spurs you on, because the stuff that you see, like you said, you see it in Oakland, you see it in Newark, New Jersey, you see it in Detroit, you see it in Florida, Miami, wherever you go, there you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you know, this Beyond the BRICS project is very influential, and I just thought that it would be, you know, a good thing to, you know, put it out there to the people who might not be aware. You know, you hear people every day like, I wish, you know, somebody was here that could change this, or, you know, somebody needs to be something to, you know, for the kids, do something for the kids. This has been going on. You know what I mean? Tell my listeners how long you guys have been going at this.
So we've been doing this for, we're coming up on 3 years right now.
Okay.
Well, this conversation started years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rita and I just basically, like, I grew up where my mom was always, you know what I mean, don't talk about what's wrong, do something
mm-hmm.
about it.
Do something about it, right.
And so basically it was out of a lot of those conversations of, you know, this is wrong and that's wrong, but we spent all day talking about what's wrong when we need to step up, you know. And everybody has a role to play, no matter how small it is,
mm-hmm.
that it's not going to get done until we start, you know, standing up. And as we see, like just in Chicago last year, 500 kids got murdered in 1 year. And it's not, you know what I mean, primetime news. Nobody's
right.
really covering it because,
right.
you know what I mean, the message to me that I get from media is that black kids' lives is not worth other children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was 500 of other children, that it would
you
be
hit,
all
yeah,
kind
right.
of...
It'd be on ad nauseum. That's right.
So basically,
that's right.
we got to sing our own song.
Mm-hmm. We were talking behind the scenes, and you were telling me about a story, and hey, man, I just wanted you to put it out there, man, and something that really kind of like, I think it was one of your people
oh, yeah.
down in it. And it, go ahead, tell the story, man.
Yeah.
You could do it better than me.
And so on basically Christmas Day, you know, early a.m. in the morning, one of the kids that graduate from the first cohort from the Beyond the BRICS Project, the Community Producers Program, his name was Joshua Watson. He was on his way home from his job, 18 years old. He got robbed and murdered. And, like, we basically, like, there's nothing that we can do for him because he's gone. But one of the things that I wanted people to at least do is to go on to our Facebook page. There's a video that we created from an interview with him just so that we can kind of get a sense of the kind of young men that we are losing. Like, this is a kid with a beautiful soul, a great heart, great potential, and a future. And somebody took it, you know what I mean, for some robbery.
Right.
And one of my things is, our thing is that, like, people blame, you know what I mean, people for this and that. And the person who killed them, and, you know, in my opinion, I feel like that person is a victim too. because he felt like he was in a situation where
he had to do that.
To do that, you know what
right.
I mean? And
right.
It's like we gotta fix the system. We can't just say, oh, we're gonna go after the people who are breaking these laws, because the people who are breaking the laws on the major level
mm-hmm.
aren't going to jail, and they are the ones who are making the condition where these people, this young boy, felt like he had no other option. So we gotta deal with the issue, you know what I mean, where it really lies.
Right.
And
it's not
on the ground in the poor neighborhood.
Okay. That's right. Get us out of that box, man. Because like you said earlier, you know, they want us to be confined into a box. And, you know, once we try to figure out, you know, there is a way out of this box, they try to shoo us back in it. It's like, you know,
right.
this is not for you. Stay with, you know, stay in your lane. You
right.
know, all of these, we help build these lanes. So,
exactly.
you know what I mean? And again, I really, really appreciate what you guys are doing. And I think that is real positive, man. So how do people get in touch with you guys?
So they can get in touch with us a few ways, and I know Dana may be listening. So, but I want, like, if you're really serious and you need any information, like just general information, you can email us at info@beyondthebricksproject.com. That's info@beyondthebricksproject.com.
Uh-huh.
If you want to, you know, get more than just general information, then you also can go to the website. And I encourage you guys to go to the website and go to our Facebook page, because over this whole almost three-year period, we got less than 2,000 people on our Facebook page.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Let's get some numbers up there so that we can communicate, because we are in a stage where, like, our parents and our parents' parents didn't have the internet, and they still made big things happen where
that's right.
they allowed us to get to this point. So we need to be in better communication, make bigger and better connections. So please log on to our Facebook page. It's Beyond the Bricks on Facebook. BeyondTheBricksProject.com on the web. The number to the office, if it's about a serious thing, 212-234-3925. 212-234-3925. Also, if you able...
On Twitter.
Yeah,
on Twitter too, that's right. That's
yes.
right.
Yes, yes. And like the mayor said, we are a nonprofit. And if you are in a position where you can make a donation, please go onto the website and make a tax-deductible donation. And if you're not in a position, then maybe there's something else that you can do. And if you don't do it with Beyond the Bricks Project, I know that there's something in your community that's going on good that you can go out and help on Saturday after work, once a month, whatever it is that, you know what I mean, like, you got to put in to get out.
That's true. That's true. That's right. I mean,
and if I can just add to that about mentoring, because mentoring is such a huge part of what so many of our positive mentors is what our young men really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are going to be influences in their lives and support them. And as I say that, I also just want to make sure that it definitely is a grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm.
And which does not mean it's just Derek and I. There's so many people in all of these cities who
mm-hmm.
are really, especially the folks who have accepted to run the programs in their universities
right.
that are really on the ground in the city doing the work. The grassroots part of it really is that we're talking directly to the boys, and the boys are dropping directly to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, sort of top down. It's really, you know, bottom up. Kind
From
of
the thing. Bottom up. That's and to me, you know, that's kind of like you get the truer essence of it, because if you're doing it from the top down, it gets diluted by the time it gets to the bottom. If
right.
you're doing it from the bottom up, you're getting a real hard body karate live and direct message right in your face, right there. No dilution, no saturation, no nothing. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it rises. Everybody gets up under the message, and then they help lift it up.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, trickling it down and only giving us crumbs, giving us what we, you know, just disseminating what they want us to know. Because like Derek said, you know, the internet is here for you. You know what I mean? And our elders and things of that nature, they didn't have the internet. All they had was word of mouth. They had
mm-hmm.
each other. And they used that word of mouth to their fullest capabilities. So for us to kind of like be lackadaisical about something that's going to be for our benefit, to help our community, what does that say about us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like for a simple, you know, I'm privy to Beyond the Bricks. I'm aware of it. I follow you on Twitter. You know what I mean? I make my little comments and things of that nature. But to the grand audience on a grander scale, just like my listening audience or whatever, they're like, okay, Beyond the Bricks, what's that? That this is something you need to be up on.
Right.
You know what 2 Chainz had on at the BET Awards. How come you don't know what's going on with Beyond the Bricks Project? When it's
something
that could benefit somebody that you know. You know, and it's a 6-degree of separation thing. Everybody could benefit from this.
Right.
And like you said, it doesn't have to be a situation where you come from a certain amount or a certain situation. Any situation. You're doing something for your community, you're doing something for yourself, and I think that this is a real positive thing. That's why I wanted to put you guys on for my first show of 2013, because we want to get it out there and put Beyond the Bricks out there and say, hey, this is what's going on in the community beyond that loud, dumb music that they play.
Right. Thank you. And we appreciate it. And we appreciate that as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, sir. That's how we planned it out.
In the 2013. We really, really
yes, sir.
Appreciate that. And we're very, very excited about the possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Because, I mean, you know, people, you know, I give people platforms, man. They speak their mind and do what they do. And that's just what it's for, man. Like I said, man, if I got a platform, you got a platform. So that's what it is. So in regards to the talk about the movie that you created and you know, what has been the response to it, and is there another movie in the works? So talk about that a little bit.
Yes. So the movie originally
called Beyond the Bricks.
Right. The movie is called Beyond the Bricks, and basically, and just to let you guys know, and we don't really get this kind of platform often, so I'm going to try and promote it as much as I can. So the movie is a 31-minute movie. There's a 45-minute version. It's for sale, and it comes accompanied with discussion guides. So we have a discussion guide, so you can use it in a community application. You can use it in a classroom application with children from 6th to 12th grade, and you can also use it in your, for professional development or in-service training for teachers. We made the film, and we wanted this film to be a tool, because basically that's what Weta and I, our company is basically, we want to create film that can help people to serve a purpose.
Right.
So from that film, we're creating another film, basically how. And the thing is, Mr. Mayor, is that it's so crazy how it grew, because we made the film, then we went on tour, we created the Produce, Create, Innovate program out of the tour, and then it just kept growing, and it's just to show the possibilities of what is possible when many people get together around something. And just like Weta said, there are so many people that have been supportive of us. Like the Ford Foundation has been extremely supportive of us, helping us with the...
Hold on, wait a minute. Say that again. Repeat that.
The Ford Foundation
okay.
Funded the film. The Open Society Foundation, the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, gave us funds to do the initial 10 city. The Kellogg Foundation gave us funds to start the community producer program. And so it takes a lot of people, it takes a lot of money to do this kind of work. And we want people to understand that, you know what I mean, that it really, it takes a lot to do this kind of work. But if you just don't do anything, then our condition gets worse and worse.
No doubt, man. And I think that's the key word right there. If you don't do anything, nothing will get done. So, you know, you got to give it up for people like yourself and Weta and the whole situation over there Beyond the Bricks, man. Because, again, it, you know, like you said, you had a little conversation and then it blossomed to where we are three years later. 3 years from now, it'll be even bigger than this, and then 3 more years and 3, you know what I'm saying? So it's a process. And it's definitely something positive, and I'm looking forward to doing some more things, and even, you know, coming out in this experience and, you know, how a particular meeting may go. Because basically, every meeting, like we said, every meeting is the same, but the people might have unique perspectives on how to fix this particular situation. You know what I mean? Instead of just, you know, putting everybody on a curfew, and rounding everybody up and put them in the back of a van. That's not how things get worked
right.
out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So mm-hmm. you know, and like you said, that you have, you know, these young minds that you have to mold and create and help to mold and create. They see the negativity. They live with the negativity. They breathe the negativity. But the positivity is kind of like taking the background, and I believe that that's kind of like where, you know, when we were little, our parents wasn't having that. Okay? We was in fear of them, not in fear like, oh my God, they're going to kill me. We respected them. It was a respectful fear. And I think that's
right.
really disappeared from, you know, today's, you know, parent-child dynamic. You know what I mean?
Yes,
there's
sir.
No respect
yes,
there. You know, everybody wants to be their kids' friends and all of that. And this is what you get when you go away from the do as I say, not do as I do. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we got to get back to, and it's nobody trying to be a dictator to the kids, but we're just trying to keep you out of having to go visit them on Sundays. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, again, you know, the Beyond the Bricks Project, man, is definitely something that, you know, I would implore my listeners and the people that I rock with to get, you know, to get involved with. And I'm going to definitely speak to some people behind the scenes, man, and get you in touch with them. And it could definitely happen, man, because I'm definitely proud of you, my dude. And we
yes,
too,
yes.
man. Everybody,
yes.
you're doing the thing. And it's definitely a labor of love, man. So, when was the last place that you guys were at?
Whoa. Where were we, Weena? The last... Pittsburgh, I think.
The list
goes on. Yeah, I know that the next place we're going to be is Syracuse University.
On February 6th, yeah.
So if anybody's in the queue, it's Orangeman. Make sure that you guys come out. It's going to be Syracuse University. And then we're going to be at East Carolina University on the 28th.
Okay.
Yeah, 2028, yeah.
February.
That's what it is. That's what
yeah.
it is.
And I just want to quickly make sure that we are just giving thanks and shouting out the folks who are really pushing this along. And
mm-hmm.
Dana, you know, Derek mentioned Dana Salter, a program manager, who is gone above and beyond to really sort of make all of this happen. But our university partners at Georgia State University, which is the Alonzo Chen Center, they sponsored, they helped us do the, our, we have a Fellows Institute that started out of the Produce, Create, Innovate program. So we did a summer institute there at Georgia State, really, I mean, Alonzo Chen Center really sort of helped us pull together.
Okay.
The folks in Atlanta. UMI, which is the Institute for Urban and Minority Education at Teachers College.
Okay.
Their second year with the program. Jackson State University, their second year with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And the newcomers coming on this year is the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Big up to Dr. Chance Lewis, who has
yeah.
really been on point with that. And UATB, which is the University of Arkansas in Pine Bluff. And a big shout out to Vivian Flowers, who
yes.
really that happened. She forged it right in. So I just want to make sure that we're thanking folks who really make this happen every day.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
That's my theme song in the background.
Yeah. We had to get the fingers dusty, man, and dig in the crates, you know what I'm saying? Pull it out
yes,
for my dude, you know?
Yes, sir. That's hard body karate right here. That shouldn't have no dust on it.
Listen. The CD don't got no dust on it, but the vinyl, out of. No doubt, man. So you got the mayor in the building, man. I'm on the line with my peoples, man. Beyond the Bricks, Washington Cohen Media is going down. Hard Body Karate, man. So, and Mike, you on the line with us? Apparently not. He went back to
sleep.
Yes, sir.
I'm still here.
All right,
I'm
Mike. I know you got a question for my peoples, man. Go ahead, man. Hold it. Go ahead. Do what you do, man. I know you got something that you want to ask us.
Okay. Now, let me ask y'all. Now, y'all united as one, right? How did y'all meet up and organize this whole organization?
Well, we started working together at a documentary company here in Harlem called Roja Productions. And that's where we met. And a few years later, we actually started Washington Cohen Media in 2006. And again, the Beyond the Bricks project came out of the Beyond the Bricks film that we did in 2009. And again, it just sort of took a life of its own. But we're still Washington Cohen Media. We are producing other projects, but a big part of what we're doing right now is to push the Beyond the Bricks project to make sure that, because it's such a vital and important message.
Okay, can I ask something?
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. Now, as an up and coming, you know, producer, somebody trying to make it, what advice could y'all give them to like succeed to where y'all at right now?
Persistence, I think, is important. And Derek, were you saying something? Or?
No. I was just seconding that emotion. I think that it's it's something that you gotta really love, and particularly for the work that we do. Shout out to my original mentor, St. Clair Bourne, who passed away almost 5 years now. He said to me, in this kind of work, you can't do it for money. You have to do it to make change. So it's like this kind of work is not, you know what I mean, where any money can be on your mind. It has to be that you're doing this for the people, for your heart, because you want to make a difference. And in that, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices that you end up making because of that. But if you're talking about a producer in any other lane, I'm not particularly sure of, you know, I mean, what kind of advice other than persistence, because I know that a lot of young people think that that people, like, when you first hear of whoever is famous, you think that they just got on, but you don't know, like, the 10 years before anybody ever knew their name, all the work that they did and the sandwiches that they got, and all the, you know, I mean, the heartbreak that they went through.
That's right.
So, it's something that you know, got to really, 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 really want to do.
Right. And I think as a producer, you know, I've had a long, varied career. And
talk about that.
Yeah, I would like to hear about it.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my early career is actually music videos. So I started out in entertainment. And I've done feature films, I've gone to Sundance, and one of the first films that I did won Urban World Film Festival. I've done commercials, all that kind of stuff. So the entertainment piece of it, my advice for folks who want to get into that, other than being persistent, I think, is to make sure that you – internships, I think, are important pieces of it, so that you're able to get on to set and see what's happening.
No
because
doubt.
Because I think, and you, because as a producer, you basically need to know everybody's job to make it happen.
No doubt.
To be a good producer. Mm-hmm.
We got Shelly on the line. Shelly, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. Happy New Year. Hello.
Well, I don't know where Shelly is, but
yeah,
all right.
Well, never mind. But yo, go ahead. Finish your thought.
What was important for me is that I was discovering my voice as I was going through all of that. So that's what led me to this work, is because that really wasn't sort of satisfying for me. The work was, and what's great about producing is that you bring a team, you put a team of people together to make something happen, and that's still the core piece of the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But things that are meaningful became important, and so we're forging our way here without having any background necessarily in this kind of work. So we're just, again, being persistent and following your heart, as Derek said.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yo, you got the mayor in the building, man.
Mayor, can I ask one more question? Because I know you probably
got calls.
Go ahead,
man. Go ahead.
I'm interested, man.
I know. That's what it is.
Now you said, you know, if people can't donate money, what other options are you, like, giving them to help, you know, help y'all out in the organization if they can't donate money? Like, are you doing clothing,
Not well, for if you're in one of our cities and you are near one of the universities and you're interested in possibly mentoring and you are able, then that's a way that you can help out. And you can go to the website, and when you go to the website, there's a button that says Community Producers. You can click on that button, and the drop down, you'll see it'll say Produce, Create, Innovate, and that'll lead you to each one of our schools. It'll give you each one of our partner schools, and it'll give you a little overview of what it is that's happening at the school, and then you can reach out directly to them, or you can reach out directly to us. And otherwise, we just want people to be active, and not, you don't have to work or be partnered or associated with the Beyond the Bricks project. We just want people to be active and associated with some kind of program, because there are so many programs that are out there, and people may not think that there's something going on in your city, and I don't care where you live, there's something positive that's going on in your city where you can be a positive example for young people, where you can go out and help them to do something. Because even before Beyond the Bricks, like, I would see young boys, like, just being on the street with a basketball, and I would engage them in a game of tap and or mm-hmm. something, and where they may not have, you know what I mean, a positive role model or someone in their life where they can just have that interaction, where you never know, like, those little moments and what kind of influence those little moments have on somebody for the long term. And that's, those things are needed. You don't have to quit your job and start, you know what I mean, mentoring program or whatever, but you need to be doing something. And if you're not, you know what I mean, helping out your community, then you're hurting your community. So
that's right.
You should be doing something.
That's what it is. We got Rachel on the line. Rachel, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's up?
Thank you. Happy New Year. Good evening, everybody.
Happy New
Hello.
Year. Good evening.
You know, I had another question.
I know you did.
Oh, can I get mine in first?
We're going to let you breathe for a second. Okay. Make sure you formulate your question the way you want it to be. Rachel, go ahead.
Okay. I have, it's actually two questions. What's the next step? I think that you're going to Syracuse. After Syracuse, what's the next step? And do you do work on Long Island?
So after Syracuse, we're going to be in East Carolina, North Carolina. After that, we're going to be in London. But we're based in New York City. We're based in Harlem. So basically, our next step is to keep on growing the project. And our ultimate goal, our wish, is to be able to have our program in as many institutions as possible. And the reason why we want to work with colleges is because so often young black boys don't get to have the experience to be on college campuses. So it's sort of a built-in recruitment tool also. So if there's a college John Jay, or what's out in Long Island?
Hofstra.
Or, you know, your college, if you have a school of urban education, or even if you don't, if you think that this is something that will work in your school, and we can create the kind of partnership where black boys will be there and be supported, and after the program is done, to have some kind of continued wraparound service support, then that's what we want to do. We want to be able to, because the thing is, like, for me, when I was growing up, I had KRS-One. I had the music that empowered me to know it takes a nation a million to hold us back, and just different things where I knew that I can go into my classroom and I can shut down my social studies teacher.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And I can let them know, because whatever I was learning in class wasn't Eli Whitney and Haile Selassie.
Okay.
It wasn't any of that. So basically, when I was hitting him with that, he didn't have it. So the thing is, and the greatest thing about KRS-One lyric, and particularly in that song, it's about how we hurt each other by not knowing about each other's culture. And that's real, because my social studies teacher, he basically latched on to the things that he should have already known so he could teach me. So the long story short is that our goal is to be in as many places as we can possibly be where black boys are being supported and empowered to know that you have a long history in this country, and you are not what You know what I mean?
They try to make you believe you are. That's right.
1995, exactly.
Yo, we got the it's going down tonight, man. After further review, GQ Palace Sports is in the building, man. We throw you a curve. It's the first show for 2013, but do not get it twisted. You know what it is. I got Ginger Patterson on the line. You with us, Ginger? Happy New Year. Welcome to the
yep.
bigger show.
I'm
Gary,
here.
Gary, you on the line?
Hello,
okay.
I'm here.
All right, what's up, Ginger? How you doing? Welcome to the bigger show. Happy New Year. You have a question
Happy
for
New
our
Year
guest?
To you. What I was calling you about is that, first of all, I was listening to the first half of the program,
uh-huh.
and it's more like it's been institutionalized slavery going on for a long time. The other thing that I wanted to make a comment about is that our government has taken out the history, or has already taken out the history of Black history's history.
Mm.
So they're even cutting it down even more so. So how are you fighting to get Black history put back into the history books? See, because there's more than just Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. There should be more. Our classroom should be filled with Black history. And that's what's happening.
Yes.
Well, our children need to know our history. They need to know where they come from.
And I think
that is one of the main reasons why they are made to feel like they're inferior.
Mm.
The other thing that I wanted to comment on was that if we start taking down the names of all the kids who have died in each major city, the innocent bystanders who have died through gang violence and build memorial walls, then they will understand that we hurt. We have lost a lot of people within the past 20, 30 years through gun violence.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So someone needs to go around to city to city, state to state, find out how many people, how many kids, how many people have died through innocent guns, through fire, lost their lives, and start building memorial walls.
Yes, and my response to that would be, and this is no disrespect, this is real talk to you, ma'am, that my response would be that I think that that's something that you should start however, like, it needs to start. I think it's an awesome and it's an excellent idea, but I think that that's how it is. Like, for me, it can't be someone else. It has to be us. It has to be you. So, if you know, I think that that's a great idea, and I think that it's something that you can't just, you know, go out tomorrow and start it, but something where, like, over time you brainstorming and thinking, because, like, when I was listening to you, like, I can envision, like, the wall, even if it was something in Washington, D.C., or if it was in each individual city, or even if it was online and it connected, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a great idea, and I think that it could start with you. As far as getting Black history correct in the history book, we have to, I guess, realize that this is, and I've changed my thinking about this over the years. I used to always think that this was not my country, but this is my country. This is our country, and we have to feel like that and force people to recognize what our accomplishments and what our contributions were. And that's just basically how it has to be. And you have to teach the people, the kids that you come into contact with, you have to let them know, like, what the contributions are so that they'll know, because us just, like, I don't know that there's a protest that we can have to force the people who make the book, add us into the book, so to speak.
Hmm.
Right, but see, what happens is that we have went silent. Silent after 30 years after the Civil Rights Movement. And that the Civil Rights Movement took place, then therefore they were able to remove our history from all of the history books, which we know that we have helped build the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't start fighting, there won't be anything with inside the history book. Right now, they're even trying to say that Egypt is not in Africa.
But we know, we all know better than that. So that's that, I think that's
well,
the point that Derek is making.
They're trying to change history. So
but we can't allow them to change it. We can't allow them. I think that's the point that Derek is making. If you recognize that something's not right in your community, in your neck of the woods, where you, you know, where you have people, your community, where you live at, well, it has to start with you, and you have to spread it out. So instead of just waiting to say, well, okay, I'm going to wait till somebody else decides to do something or take a stand, then I'm going to take a stand. That only thing that's wasted out of that is time. So if you're aware of what's going on in your particular neck of the woods, because we're all from different areas, and the different areas that we cover would cover this whole situation. So instead of just like, okay, well, I think they should do this, and why don't they do that, this and that, that and third, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that my child understands that we come from a rich, diverse, unique history. Their story
correct.
Is their story. Like Derek said, KRS-One, you know, he put it eloquently. His story is his story, okay? But if we let them continue to tell his story to us, we're going to eventually fall for the okey-doke. So what we have to do is realize and recognize that, we have contributed to this situation here, and we have to take a stand and be proud of our contributions. Don't sweep them under the rug.
Okay, then my thing is, then when are we all going to stand up together as a collective?
I think that's why we're here tonight, after further review of GQ Palace Sports. Gary, what's good? I got you on the line. Happy New Year, my dude. Welcome to the bigger show, man. There's a lot of things going
all
on
right.
tonight, man. Welcome. Peace.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, Happy New Year. I just had two questions. Y'all can answer them in any order y'all would like. Happy New Year, y'all. I want to say I'm proud of y'all. Y'all doing y'all thing. It's a pleasure knowing and working with y'all first. My first question was, what's the most rewarding part of your job? And my second question is, how do you feel about the new gun law, or what about them passing that gun law and everything?
Well, I'll take a crack at it first, Weeda. Well, I think the most rewarding part of my job, because I come from a tradition of older men helping younger men that they see promising. So, like I said, St. Clair Bourne was my first mentor. Then I moved over to Orlando Bagwell, and under those men who basically I feel took me in as their son, they taught me a lot about film, and they just taught me a lot about how to move as a man, and so my most rewarding piece is to be able to see that in other young men and give what I feel is you know, like positive reinforcement, so that they can internalize that and take that responsibility on and pass it on to the next young man. And the second question is, I forgot.
In regards to the gun laws.
The gun laws, oh man. Well, first, I like to say that I think that this country was built on violence, and everything always revolves in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So this country was taken over through violence and murder. And I think that now violence and murder is showing its head again. And until we deal with some of those things, it's gonna continue. The media has made things way out of control. So I don't think that just saying that we have a gun law that will take, you know, guns out or shorten the amount of bullets in a clip, I don't think that that's what's gonna stop people from killing each other. Like, real programs are going to stop people from killing people. Because if you look at the people who've been killing people, those people needed other social services that may not have been available to them. And we can say all we want to say about guns, but we need to deal with the people and the guns at the same time. We can say we're going to make it harder for you to get a gun. But everybody knows that if you want to get a gun, that there are so many ways that you can get a gun, and the only thing that's going to do is make the people who only care about money that sell things on black market, so when
right.
they used to get $1,000 for a gun, they're going to get $2,000 for a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the gun's
right.
still going to be in the hands of people who want to get
people
guns.
Don't need, right,
so,
that's right. That's right.
We need a lot of other policies, and now is the time that we got the people has the attention of the people that supposedly are in power, and we just got to make a lot of noise that, you know what I mean, you're going to do more than what you say you're going to do. You're going to do what we want you to do.
Well, I'm gonna have to be a little bit more hopeful about the gun laws, because I actually think that that's the step in the right direction. I don't know how that affects, because basically it's assault rifles, and there is a mental health piece to this, and what President Obama is supposed to talk about tomorrow. But
okay.
I think that is a step in the right direction, and.
Oh.
I don't know, again, how it affects the young black man in Chicago, because we haven't started to deal with handguns.
Right.
But I am optimistic that if you start to put real laws in place, it will become less difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids who are being killed or killing each other won't be spending $2,000 for handguns. So if they don't have access to it, so easy access to it.
They could take that $2,000 and spend it towards their education or something
exactly.
in the community, like instead
yeah.
of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that we have to deal with the issue so that they don't feel like they need a gun.
Mm. Okay.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
That all goes in. That's the fact. That's really what we're talking about across the board in terms of Beyond the Bricks, is that we want to start to change perspectives and minds about who our kids are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just about the Zimmermans, because we, you know, everybody went crazy about, George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the young men, of the 500 young men that were shot in Chicago, were shot by other young men.
Mm.
Other young black. So where is our outrage about that, which has been happening for a long time? And
right.
how to respond to that. And it's what the last caller talked about in terms of understanding our history, understanding who we are. And we can take some very creative approaches to that. There are a lot of seniors who know all of these stories.
Right.
Situations
right.
where if you're forcing them to go and sit in jail or sit somewhere else, force them to sit and actually learn something and take something from their elders.
And
that
I think not to cut you off, but I think that's what's missing. And that's the ingredient right there that we had that kind of got lost in the sauce between when we came up in the game, because our grandparents and parents would sit us down and say, well, back in the day, such and such happened, and we got the real straight out of it, directly from them. So, but now that the message has got so diluted and so watered down, so now they're going to turn around and they would now do stuff that we wouldn't even dream of doing, like disrespecting our parents or, you know, showing disrespect to, you know, to elderly people and things like that. We would never dream of that. If we even thought that we wanted to talk slick to Miss Mary down the block, Miss Mary would smack us in the mouth. Then she tell your mom, and then the mom, you know what I mean? So what happened to that?
Well, we gave
control to the kids. The kids got the control.
Well, Miss Mary starts smoking crack, though. So
because then the kids start selling this. Okay, I got you.
But I'm saying, so then you wasn't sure exactly, you know what I mean, if Miss Mary had the same temperament, you know. But that's another thing those things are introduced to disintegrate our neighborhood and our family structure. So I don't think that we're ever going to go back to where, you know what I mean, you feel comfortable with somebody, because there's no community. Like before,
there may have been a more
sense of community. So right now it's like right now on my block that I live on, I don't know people on my block, because, and then everybody is so afraid of everybody else,
right.
It seems like everybody is losing their mind a little bit, and you have to be more cautious where you wouldn't think that people would do certain things. Like now, every time we hear something, we're not surprised about what such and such did, because people seem like they will do anything. So I think that we're more careful with our kids, but we have to figure out how to get to a sense of community, and we have to start inside of our house, giving
mm-hmm.
our kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the rules, the real rules of life, is that you can't just do whatever you want to do just because you want to do it.
That's
and
right.
Like the president said, like, you got to turn off the TV and put some more energy and focus into your kids And I'm speaking from a father where, like, I made my mistakes with older children, and now with my younger children, like, I'm turning all those mistakes into positives where I learned what not to do with my older kids, and now with my little kids, like, I'm overdoing it. And I think that is where, like, we really have to put a lot of time and energy into our children, because somebody said to me before, it's like, whatever energy you put into your kid, that's what you're going to get out. And if you don't put a lot of energy in and you expect it to happen somewhere else, then that's why the kid is not respecting you and don't know that they should just respect adults just because they're adults.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, basically all they want is to be heard and respected and feel like they can, you know, they're cared about. Shelly, we got Shelly. Shelly, you back with us? Welcome to the Bigger Show. Happy New Year. What's good?
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm sorry I dropped the call. I was driving. I just wanted to say Happy New Year to everybody, and I'm just calling in to support, basically.
Happy New Year. Thank you very much,
Shelly. I appreciate it.
Pick up them jewels that's being dropped tonight, man. It's a lot of jewels being dropped in the area tonight, man. GQ Palace Sports is in your ear. After further review, you want to radio with my man Derek Cohen, We the Washington, Beyond the Bricks Project, Washington Cohen Media, the whole nine yards. So it's going down tonight, man. And we appreciate you guys for taking time. I know your schedule was, like, real hectic, you know what I mean? And we appreciate that you took the time out to really come down and kick it with us tonight, man. Anybody got any other questions for them? I got a question.
Okay.
Listen, so when you go to Syracuse, is it a program already laid out for, you know, Beyond the Bricks is coming to Syracuse and we're going to have a presentation? So how does that actually go? Do you have people up there, like, you have your connections to your other to the other schools and things of that nature? So when you go up to Syracuse, is it someone that's sponsoring you? Is it a professor or a doctor that you guys, you know, are going to be on? It's going to be speaking. What is it, a speaking engagement, or what is it exactly going on?
So basically what we've learned that, especially in the world of higher education, everybody knows everybody. And so from one of our partners, Dr. Tolson from Howard University, he knew Dr. Celie Ruiz, and then they brought us down to a big symposium about 2 years ago down in New Orleans, and we met Dr. Marcella Haddock.
Okay.
She basically is a professor up at Syracuse. So we've been talking to her back and forth.
Okay.
And
she does a
lecture series, and she was like, I really want to get y'all to come up. And so basically the lecture series, she puts on a couple of events during the year, and Beyond the Bricks is one of the events this year. And basically it's going to be a community event where we show the film and have a panel discussion, and hopefully empower people or give people a little bit more information, or give people who may have been thinking one way about young black males and basically give them a different perspective, because we do like pre and post surveys, assessments.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people think certain things about black boys because media is so powerful.
That's the stereotype, right?
Really,
okay.
If you never really had the opportunity to sit down and really talk and get to know, even if you're a teacher, and it might be even one of your students, but you might already have this glass on that says, like, this is the way that he behaves and this is why. And then once you have an opportunity through the film just to sit down and listen to some of the circumstances and possibilities that these boys have, you start to see them in a different way, treat them the way that, you know what I mean, like giving them a fair chance, not special or anything, but giving them a fair opportunity to show them who they are, because black boys are not cut out of a cookie cutter, just like white boys are not cut out of a cookie cutter. Each boy is individual, and your job as a teacher is to engage that kid on the level where he can get something out of it and leave that place better than when he got in there. So
that's what it
that
is.
That is our goal when we go up in the building, and hopefully
that's
people
what it
will
is.
Get those messages.
True. We got Kia on the line. Kia, welcome to the Bigger Show. Happy New Year. What's going on? Hello?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I have a question, and I'm sorry I missed half the earlier part. question. I was just listening to the other one. Can I ask, what is the overall goal of the and also what is the completion of the program? It's a program, am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what's the ratio of the completion of the program? Like, is it do most of the guys complete the program? Do some guys fall short of the program? And how many parents are true participants in this program with their children?
Okay. So last year was the first year for the community producers program. This is our second cohort this year. The program is a 4-month program, and each city has 10 boys in it. And basically what we do is we're not trying to set it as a competition, but we have it where two of the best boys, or not best boys, but the boys who show the most potential in progress, because what we're trying to do is to create or to support community leaders so that they can leave the program and go out and create campaigns that will basically use the 10 boys to touch another 100 boys, because who best to spread the message than your peer? Because whenever, you know, young people get together, they can speak in a language where their peers understand, mm-hmm. and they spread the message. So coming from adults, like, now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think I'm cooler than Billy Dee Williams, but I'm old now. So, like, in Billy Dee Williams' age, if I say that to a young boy, he's like, who is Billy Dee Williams?
Right.
So,
and the whole
boys
message
need to
is
be
lost.
Able to speak the language where, mm-hmm. like, they can get convey the message clear, and also just they can change the mind, because if we get them in the program and they start seeing the way that the media has been portraying them, we teach them how we see ourselves and what that means to us and how we treat each other in our community. Then they can go out with that message when they're hanging with their boy or whatever they're doing, and, you know what I mean, point out certain things where it's a slow process, but it's a process that has to happen. So when you talk about boys that didn't make it, last year, 90% of the boys graduated from the program. You weren't listening earlier. One of the best and brightest was killed on Christmas Day. He was robbed in Atlanta, Georgia. So this is, just gives us more energy, more fire to want to, continue this program. And as for parents, a lot of parents participated as far as supporting their children and making their children show up, because a lot of boys, you know, it's an after-school program, so some boys may, you know, miss a class or two, and their parents have been supportive in, you know, getting them to stay with it, or and even, you know, support them in other ways. But we don't have, I don't have a specific percentage of what the parents, but we know that parent engagement is number one thing with anything for you to be successful. And as we move forward, like this year, we had parent night to open up the program, and we had great attendance by parents in some of the sites. And we just, you know what I mean, it's a work in progress, and we have to continue, because the boys, out of the 10 boys, we want the boys to represent, you know what I mean, the ex-gang member, the kid who might be about to join the gang, and a straight-A student, because we know that kids have influences on each other, and we want the positive influences, because all kids want to do well. All kids want to do the right thing. It's just that when they don't have the opportunity and the guidance, then, you know what I mean, if you got a lot of people around you that's doing negative things, you know what I mean, it's harder for you to do, but not impossible, but harder for you to do the right thing. So we're just trying to, you know what I mean, try to spread the message, you know what I mean, as best we can. And we need, you know, more help, more support, and more people to be involved.
Okay, I have a question. So does the goal change over, does the goal change over time, or does the goal stay the same?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Does the goal change over time, or does you stick to one goal?
The goal is to create community producers, and that's our number one goal, is to give the boys, so when they first get in the program, they are allowed to introduce themselves however they want. Like, so when they come in, like, my name is Derek, And my friends may call me D-Nasty or D-Nizzle for Rizzle a long time ago, so that may be how I want to represent myself. But then after we have this four-month course and you see that in some circles that may be appropriate for you to call yourself, you know what I mean, your nickname, but in certain circles you may want to go by Derek. And not to say that you should give up, you know what I mean, your cultural experience or identity, but you need to know how, what they call, to code switch of, like, this is a place where this behavior and dress is appropriate, and this is a place where it's not appropriate.
Right.
And that message can spread, but we give them the tools, including the camera, to reinvent, reimagine themselves, and find things that, what's good about your community? What are some things that you didn't know about your neighborhood that was good? Because as soon as you speak to anybody, like, the trend right now is to be hood, and you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, murders is going around my block. My block is dangerous and this, and that. And
yeah, come on, come hang out with me on my block. This is killing on my block.
So, yeah, and then it's like, okay, so, like, why do we want to embrace the negative where there are good things? There's Miss Thompson who, you know what I mean, that makes donuts, and there's this person who, you know what I mean, was in the military, and they want to teach you how to do, you know what I mean? We have to go out and embrace the great things about our neighborhood. And that's like all the movies that you see that portray our life, it always has to somehow end up where it's negative or somehow Pookie's involved. And all of those things is where the joke is on us. And we need to figure out how to change the narrative and the conversation around what our neighborhood is, because we all know that nobody's getting shot every night in nobody's neighborhood. It's a good thing. People go to work. People work hard. People going to college. People doing a bunch of great things in their neighborhood, but that's never being reported. So the kids just feel like, okay, I got to gravitate towards this.
All right, I have this one more question. Now, this was a goal that something that you envisioned, you know, something you planned out. I'm quite sure this was planned out, something you wanted to give back. I'm quite sure there was a lot of setbacks when you started this, a lot of, you know, pros and cons. How did you deal with it?
Arguing. Like, we argue and we fight, and then we get up and we keep on moving.
Exactly.
That's just how it is. And basically, like, we
that's
we
a perfect
are
answer.
The, so yeah, that is. That's what it is.
That's the right answer. That was the perfect answer. Yeah, yep, exactly.
And I just want to, I know you didn't come on the first. The larger Beyond the Bricks project is actually the Community Producers Program is a program that comes out of the larger Beyond the Bricks project. And ultimately, our goal is to encourage and promote community-based solutions to increasing educational and social outcomes for Black male youth. So all of the work that we do is towards that effort and towards that goal.
Well, how qualified are the persons that, you know, that's doing the program? Are they, you know, does it, you
know,
that
was
have...
a great question. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I'm so glad you asked that. Thank you. So all of the instructors are doctoral students, and in Jackson State University is Garfield Blight. And Bright.
Georgia State.
I'm sorry, Georgia State University. And Garfield is one of the original members of SHY. And if I ever he's one of the instructors. He's about to be a PhD. He's going to be Dr. Bright. And he is one of the instructors that's teaching the boys in Jackson State University.
Georgia.
Oh, I keep saying Georgia. I mean Jackson, Georgia. Sorry. Jackson. I mean Georgia.
Some sort of program down there.
Yeah. So we're in Jackson.
There's a set of criteria that our program operators go to in terms of bringing on the instructor for the class, for the course. So they are vetted in everything.
Yes, ma'am.
By the university.
Mm-hmm.
So let me slide in right quick. Derek, either one of you can answer this. What is the feeling that you get when, you know, you sit down actually with a, you know, with a young man, you know, or I would imagine, you know, I don't know if there, you know, young females in the program as well, What is the feeling that you get, Derek or Weta, when somebody, you know, really you see somebody that's in a that has that potential, and you kind of like pull it out of them. You got to halfway convince them that, you know, it's in you. Give this a chance instead of trying to be, you know, keep up with the Joneses and trying to follow. You know, you have leadership potential. So what is that like when you're sitting there talking to them and then maybe like 3 or 4 months later, it's like the whole 180 has been done. You know, they kind of like grow and they blossom, and without that stroke, if you didn't stroke them and give them that encouragement, Lord knows where they would be. So what does that feel like for you personally?
I want to say, so basically we don't get the opportunity to engage with the boys as much as we would like. The institutions are all around the country, but I will tell you a story about a young man that was in last year's cohort at Columbia University at UMI. So I went in to film and interview some of the boys, and this young boy, he was an immigrant. He was from Africa, but he was living in like Louisiana before he came to Harlem. So, you know, like it was like a culture shock being in Harlem.
Mm-hmm,
he was like shy and into like a little, you know, withdrawn. And within 3 months in the program, like his swag was up. He was like, it was just like he was so confident. And during graduation, like he attributed all of that confidence coming from Beyond the Bricks, because he was around other young black males who, you know, he had some friends, and they was from around the city, and, you know, he learned how to film and make his own movie. His name is Chris, and if you go on to Beyond the Bricks Project website on the Harlem page, his video is called Harlem Regentrification, and he goes in, and like it's just to be able to see him grow in that little bit of time was really awesome. And there's another awesome young man. His name is Maceo Tompkins from Atlanta, and you can see his videos also. He has a page up too, and his video is called Only God Can Judge Me. I encourage y'all to watch all of the videos, but those two videos in particular. There's another video from a kid from Harlem called Some Days It Rains, Some Days It Don't. And I'm telling you, like, our children have power, have potential, want to do great things, and they just need, you know what I mean, like, for people to believe in them and put their hand out and say, I'm here to help you and not to hurt you. And, like, this project, you know what I mean, can be big and can grow more and more with all the support, because there's so many cities that this kind of work is needed in, but we're not there, and we need other people to support us so that we can be there.
No doubt. We got another call on the line. Steve, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. How's everyone?
Happy New Year. Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I just want to ask, because I went blank. Anyway.
Well, we'll put the light on you now. You know we're blank. That's an Eagle fan for you.
Hi, Sid. The guest speaker. What's his name again, the mayor?
Derek.
Derek, how are you?
Yes, Derek, ma'am,
how are you?
Yes.
Hello.
I'm
good. I'm good, thank you.
Okay, both of you guys. I just want to ask, with your film, have you ever come across a person that didn't want to play the part?
Oh, no, we our film is a documentary. Was there anybody that didn't want to participate? Yeah, sometimes, but you know, we went through a lot to find the young men. We have focus groups so that we can find the young men that we created a criteria of what we were looking for. We didn't want to sing that same song. We didn't want to sing the song of, you know, my daddy left me and my mom is on drugs and my grandma, you know, like, so we wanted to figure out a way where if that was the circumstance, that it would be someone able to tell that story and not from a point of view that it was just in a deficit.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I have a question. What was the age group of the boy? What are the age group of the boy?
16 to 19.
Oh. 16 to 19?
Yeah, wow. Because we're hoping to And you know, if it was a younger boy that showed a lot of maturity and promise, then we would consider them. But our goal is to get the boys prepared or at least interested in going to college or trade school. And basically, and that's why we have them, the courses are on college campuses so that they can see what
they
it's
have the
like
experience,
to be
right.
on a college campus. And whatever the college campus offers is just another experience where you may not be thinking of going to college. And once you have that experience, just like anything else, you know what I mean? Like the reason why a lot of boys want to be rappers and ball players is because that's the experience. That's the experiences that they have. So if you have the experience of being around, like, doctors and lawyers, then more likely that's what you're going to want to be.
Exactly. So what's the ratio of them going to college? How high is the ratio of the success stories of some of the boys going to college?
Well, like I said, we're going into our second cohort. Right now, one young man is trying, Mateo, he just took his ACT, and he's trying to enroll in Georgia State. And he has so much support, and that's what it takes. So it's not just what's happening with Beyond the Bricks. It's all the people that see what Beyond the Bricks is doing, and then they start to support. So Mateo, he did a TED Talk a couple of months ago, and a lot of people saw him, and he's been being able to get support because that's what it takes. Because our boys, you know, are basically, you know, getting a late start sometimes in this race. So it needs people to be behind them and encourage and support them
right.
and keep saying, you know, you can do it, you can do it. And
right.
once they get that confidence, we already know, just like any young boy who once he was trying to freestyle or whatever, once he get that confidence up, you know what I mean? It's just that he may not have the right content, but the confidence is there.
Right.
So that's what we are trying to build here. We're trying to build, like, community and people to know that you got a responsibility to help these young men.
Have you seen the confidence level rise in, you know, some of these guys in the program? Are they, you know, do they adjust well or do they, you know, does it take them a moment to adjust?
Well, the program is set up, and big shout out to Tara Conley from Media Makes Change. She helped us to create a 400-page curriculum, which is the curriculum for the program.
400?
Basically,
wow.
It's robust and it's real serious. We're not playing games. The curriculum is set up so that the boys are adjusted. Like, one of the first things that they do to become adjusted in the program is they play a game called Two Truths, One Lie. And basically, they sit in a circle and they tell two truths and one lie. And then other people in the group have to guess which one was the truth, which one was the lie, and then we have a lot of other icebreakers like that that is within the program that helps them to start to build fellowship in the program.
I hope y'all recognize the jewels that's being dropped on a Tuesday night, man. Usually don't get it like this, but it goes down hard body karate. This is the first show of the year, man. GQ Power Sports, after further review, we've been blessed with the presence of Derek Cohen and Weta Washington from Beyond the Bricks, the Washington Cohen Media. Yo, man, I really appreciate y'all coming down and dropping some jewels. Let the people know one more time, man, where they can get in touch with you and if they want to help or, you know, how they can help and how they can get in touch with you guys, because I think that this is a program, I think, that really could be launched by, like you said, at a grassroots level. So if you tell us, and we'll tell up, and so on and so on. You know how the commercial goes. So how do they get in touch with you, and if they want to really make a serious effort to a great, great, great organization? Let them know.
They can, the website is beyondthebricksproject.com, beyondthebricksproject.com. Please go on to Facebook. If you don't do anything else, go on to Facebook, like us. We want to be able to stay in touch with you, contact you. If you are in a position to donate, we are a nonprofit. You can make a tax-deductible donation on the Beyond the Bricks Project. There's a donate button there, and I really feel some kind of way about asking, but it's needed. If you want to get in touch with us, through the site, there's also links where you can email us directly. or you can email us at info@beyondthebricksproject.com. That's info@beyondthebricksproject.com. Office number for people who something that you can't ask in an email is 212-234-3925. 212-234-3925. And please, if you call, you know what I mean, like, have something serious and real to talk about.
No doubt.
And Twitter.
You
keep forgetting Twitter.
Yeah, I keep forgetting Twitter because
I don't twit or
tweet. Yo, but for real, real talk, man. We really appreciate y'all, man, hanging out with us, man. And we definitely gonna stay connected, man. And we here, man. If there's anything that we could do, man. I linked you up with my people over there at GQ Palace, man. Anything, you know, they want to get involved in this situation, I'm here, man. Whatever I can do, man. I, you know, as far as the mentoring thing, because last year I called myself, coaching a little baseball team, you know what I mean, at Kipps Institute. That was right there on 135th. I was coaching their baseball team, and we went 10-1. Thank you very much. But those kids, man, those kids are the best. You know what
right,
I mean? They're
right.
from they're from the, you know, the I'm not gonna say worse because that's not what the situation is. It's a situation. That's all I can say. And
right.
people expect things of them. When I went to the first day I went to go beat them, how you doing, sir? Nice to meet you. It shook my hand, looked me in the eye, and things of that nature. It wasn't nobody had baggy pants on, and nobody was being disrespectful, but they wanted to play the game. Okay. Of course, they brought their little, you know, individual selves to, you know, the situation. But once we sat them down and said, we're out here to try to win, but we got to win together. So it's one of the greatest experiences I had. So they were 10-1, and shout out to Kipp Institute, man, because I still got my jersey. I rocked my jersey proudly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That made you feel good, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because I envision myself seeing, because those kids really wanted to play. They play baseball. They go hard at it. And that was me. You know, I put myself in their shoes when I that was me 25, 30 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And it really made me feel good because I was imparting my knowledge and wisdom that somebody took time to show me.
Yes,
and then I turned around and showed them. And it turned into a win. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's an important point about all of this is that this is not just about what the kid will receive. You actually feel good about what you're doing.
Right.
So we remind people that, you know, when you're giving something to a child, you're getting something
from their heart,
far more in return.
I
think you need a committed heart. I think you have a committed heart, a willingness to patience to deal with, you know, the urban area and everything. You can do this. You have to be committed. You be committed people. You can't just come and do them and help. But you have to be committed in doing things.
Right.
Nobody want to hear lit stuff and whatever. You have to be committed. You cannot say I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock and you show up at 8:30. You're not committed.
Talking about
you're going to
leave at 9:15.
You got to be committed. I think it only takes people who are committed. You don't want to hear
that's
a lot
right.
of lip service. So nobody want to hear lip service.
Right.
You have a committed heart to do stuff like this. To deal with
right,
children,
so,
you need a committed heart.
No doubt. So we rocking it like this on GQ Palace after further review, man. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday. Miss Lavina's birthday, too. I'm going to say it one more time. I know she's going to kill me, but it's all good. But
happy birthday.
Yo,
executive producer.
Listen, Derek, Weta, you know, we really, really, if you got anything, you know, anything else that you'd like to say before we get there? Because I got like 10 minutes left of the show, and I want to get back to the situation at hand. So, if anything you want to say before we get out of here,
Weta.
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion and talk about some of the work we're doing. Most importantly, to talk about the fact that our boys need us, and we want to encourage everybody to find something that they can do. Because it's going to take all of us, really.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Derek?
I second that emotion.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for all the listeners, all the callers, the questions. It's an honor for us to be on the radio on Dr.
Yo, it's an honor for us to have you, my dude. Yes, sir. Yo, applaud Beyond the Bricks right now. Applaud Beyond the Bricks. Hit the applaud button for me right now. There you go. I like that. They on point for 2013. I like that. Yeah, we got Beyond the Bricks is with us, man. So this is the part of the show, man, where we, you know, it's championship weekend. So I got with me? I got T on the line with me. Hey, Derek, we don't go nowhere. Go nowhere. We got T. T, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Kia, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Mike, you in the house?
For sure.
Okay, I don't know who else is still on the line. I know I got Weeda with us, and I got Derek with us. All right, so I'm going to start with my regular crew. We got the two games popping off because we usually pick games at the end of every show. So it's only two games that we got to pick this week. It's the Falcons and the 49ers and the Patriots and the Ravens. So, Mike, I'm going to start off with you, my dude. Who you got?
I got the Patriots.
You got the Patriots, and who else?
And the 49ers.
Got you. T, who you got?
I'm going to go with 49ers and Ravens.
You got the 49ers. Stick it with them birds, ain't you? Okay.
Yeah, you know it.
What's good, Kia? Who you got?
I got the Patriots, and I got the Falcons. You need to ask about it. You don't need to ask about
that. I figured since it wasn't the black and yellow thing, you know.
That's right. The Ravens, no deal. 49ers, no deal.
All right, so you got the Falcons and the Patriots. All right, I got you. My special guest, I'm going to start off with the lady. Rita, who you got? You got the Falcons or the 49ers? You can just pick anybody. Who you got?
Falcons.
Oh. And she knows what she's talking about, y'all. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. That's
what it is. Don't get it twisted. Who you got for the Patriots and Ravens game, Rita?
Ravens
all day. Derek, who you got, my dude? Falcons or the 49ers?
I got same one as Weeda. I got her back.
There you go. Apple don't fall far from the tree, baby. I see you. That's what it is. And you already know my picks because I made my Super Bowl pick back in, like, before the season started in September. I said it would be the 49ers and the Ravens to get to the big dance. Some people was mad at that. Some people still mad at it, but it's all good. Listen.
Ain't mad about that.
I didn't say no names. See how they do me? See how they do me, Derek? And I'm the man. See how they do me?
Nobody said that. You're making a false statement. I'm just correcting a false statement.
Listen,
anytime I hear something false, I am obligated to correct it.
See, there you go.
But I digress.
Listen, this day right here is a day that we all should kind of like, you know, take a hot minute. And we know what I mean by a hot minute. To kind of like, you know, retrace our steps, man, and see where we've been and see where we're going. And I think that's why we had to do this show tonight.
Indeed.
On this particular date. And everything happens for a reason. Okay,
it does.
You know, we're celebrating, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., what he stood for, and things of that nature. But it's much more bigger than him. Okay, and we also want to, you know, give a platform and the opportunity to this very, very special project and initiative that's going on right now, and it's been going on for a hot minute. And we need to grow it organically, okay, and by word of mouth. And it's something that's positive that's going on. And if you just do that, just peruse the website, and something might grab your attention. Okay, it's beyondthebricks.com. Okay,
Beyond the Bricks Project.
Okay, and like I said, my dude, GQ Palace, after further review, we're going to hold you down, man. And it is what it is. I really, really appreciate you for coming through and telling it like it's supposed to be told, man. No commercials, no sugarcoating, nobody getting behind the camera and having you clapping all that craziness right there. It is what it is. But no, I mean, real talk, my dude. I'm the mayor. Who gonna get me? What you gonna do to me? I'm the mayor. again, man. So, Kia, you got anything to say before we get out of here? I know you made your football pick. I know you got something to say. We ain't been on since been about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. This is a great show. Even though we didn't talk too much, but this is a great platform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going to go onto the website and have I love to do my research. That's all I do because I like to know what's out there and what's being said out there. But, you know, I don't agree with you all, but it was okay.
All righty then.
Okay.
All right. Mike, wake up.
What's up?
Please, he's always sleeping.
Hey, you got anything to say before we get out of here for the week, my dude?
I want to say Yo, great format, great topic.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And
go
Giants!
Go Giants. You could have saved that for September, my dude. Saved that for September. I thought you were going to say, like, go Knicks or something like that.
He got to wait 8 months to say that.
T, you got anything you want to add before we get out of here for the week?
Well, I mean, you know, hey, keep up the good work that you're doing. I want to wish our executive producer, Lavina Polite, a very
happy birthday
and many blessings.
I was gonna start singing, but I got reminded of, you know, they took the buckets. So they said, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so they snatched the bucket from me. So I just gotta wish you a happy birthday and leave it like that.
Yeah,
great show, man. I appreciate again Derek Cohen, Weta Washington, Washington Cohen Media, Beyond the Bricks Project. If you don't know about it, you need to learn about it. Okay? And it starts with you, and it doesn't take a lot of, you know, it's time. Time is a commodity. Okay? So it's not about how much money you can contribute, that would be nice. But the time, like Weta and Derek really said, it's about the effort and being there. You have to be there. You have to be a presence. Not just tell us you're coming. Be there, you know, and show and prove beyond the just lip service.
Right.
You know what I mean? The first show for 2013 went great. It was worth the wait. You know, thank you to all the listeners out there. It's like I say every week, man, it's like double dutch, man. You all press one and get in on the conversation. It might be a little bit too hectic for you. So you just want to stay on the periphery and listen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? But come and get these jewels, man, that we drop it for you, man, after further review. GQ Palace Sports, it goes down every day, man. I got after further review. I do my sports write-up. I dropped it on the page, Weta and Derek. I just wanted to get an example and see what I was doing over here. So that's what it is. And again, man, I can't thank you enough, man, and we're going to stay connected. And anytime, man. Anytime you got anything, something going on with the, like you said, you got an engagement up in Syracuse, man, come through, man. Holler at us. Let us know. And we'll definitely, you know, give you the platform to speak your mind and say what you got to say, man. Word is
really
gone, man. And again, I definitely appreciate you, man. And I thanks a lot. And it went well, man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And Weta, I won't make that, I promise not to make that mistake anymore. I know how that Auburn and Alabama thing is.
That's right.
At least I got the first letter right. Hey, yo, man, it's Tuesday, January 15th, 2013, man. After further review, GQ Palace Sports, we're about to get out of here for the week, man. You know what it is. Thanks to my man Jules, Bucktown USA, for the hot, hot, hot theme music. Thanks to all my callers. I had Kia call. You know how she do. I had my man Mike first in line all the time. Shelly for calling in. My man Gary calling in. Ginger Patterson, who, you know, let us have it, but we gave it back. It's all good. It goes down like that here after further review every Tuesday night. Rachel, thanks for calling in. Miss Lavina, happy birthday. I'm taking care of my headache thing, man. I had migraines. Terrible, man. It was killing me. But I'm back in the building, man, talking like I do. You know what I'm saying? So it goes down, man. Get back at us next Tuesday, 8 to 10. Your Tuesday night vibration, man. One more time before we get out of here, because I can't thank him enough, man. Weta Washington, Derek Cohen, Cohen Washington Media, Beyond the Bricks Project, BeyondTheBricks.com. Get at my peoples, and let's make some things happen so we can be proud of ourselves. And, you know, we got the little ones, man. We got to make sure that the shorties will be right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so when we put them out into the world, man, they could be like, okay, their parents, you know, or their people showed them the right way to go. So this is the mayor, man. Until next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, man, we out. Let me get some applause, and I'm going to sing happy birthday. That's how we going to go out tonight, man. I'm going to sing happy birthday. Hey, why everybody hanging up? Don't hang up yet. One time, happy birthday, Lavina. I got to clear my throat before I start singing. Now everybody's hanging up. Everybody's all quiet now. Hear the quickness back there in the background. I'm just trying to run this thing out so we get out of here. Yo, this is the mayor, man. We're going to count it. Hey, can we do this? Can we all say happy birthday to Lavina at the same time on the count of three? We got this? One.
Is this Stevie Wonder's version? No.
It's the after further review beyond the bricks.
Oh, no. Okay, she's talking about happy birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew he was up. Are you ready? We ready? One.
Yeah.
Two, three.
Happy
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Lavina. It's going down hard, buddy. Hey, yo, this is the Mayor Derek. Thank you, Weeda. Thank you, Watching the Cohen Media. Thank you, Beyond the Bricks. Holla at my people, yo. This is the Mayor, and I'm out of here. Peace.
Bye. Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. Explains
so cool.
The genealogy of Shem. Shem was a black man in Africa. If you repeat this fact, they can't laugh at you.
Genesis
14, verse 13.
Johnson.
Mongolian, American Indian, and Ethiopian. Yes, the ignorance gets scarier. He believed white was superior. According to his idiotic fountain, the purest white was from the Caucasus Mountains. J.A. Governor and H.S. Chamberlain. Both supported this outrageous racism. This went on to what the master race should be, and why they killed the Jews in Germany. Here is the reason why I'm so concerned, because you must learn. We're not done. Check this out.